of adjustment, but easy on the curves.
Not a glitch, Dad. Just got dyslexia, okay?
This out on you! This out on your cow!
Welcome, foolish mortals.
It is with deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we welcome you tonight.
The reference here is very obscure.
Obscure Disney Podcast.
Brought to you by Olaf Summer Camp. The first summer camp for happy snowmen.
To all who have come to this podcast, welcome. You're listening to the Obscure Disney Podcast. I'm Steven.
And I'm Ryan.
And we have new episodes every Tuesday and Thursday, so why not get an annual pass to this podcast by subscribing on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts from. Simply search for the Obscure Disney Podcast or find us at obscuredisneypodcast.com.
Happy New Year.
It is a Happy New Year.
First show? No. This will be our second show of the new year.
Of the new year, yeah.
Wow. It just feels like so much has happened since the last show.
Because we're alive and well.
We made it.
Barely, but...
survived.
Thank you, Florida.
Thanks, Florida. That was a crazy trip. 100% a crazy trip. And, like, so much happened, but the thing that I was least prepared for, there were two things I was least prepared for.
Yeah.
The temperature... and the crowds.
Okay.
I knew that both of them were there. Like, it wasn't like, oh my gosh, Florida's warm. What? I just wasn't prepared for how warm it was.
Yeah.
I literally packed a couple hoodies because I'm like, I'll probably need these. And that first day, we got out of the car and I was like, I'm going to die.
Yeah.
It is so hot.
Yeah, we saw your videos years ago about the parties that they have at Disney World over New Year's Eve.
Right.
Specifically Epcot, mm-hmm. which people started calling hashtag RaveCot because it's such a party there.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, this sounds like the thing to do. So given the first chance, we're like, yeah, we're going down there.
Let's do it.
Didn't quite make it, but...
No.
And 87 degrees, like, I was prepared for everything except for the heat. Like, the crowds would have been okay. I could have figured that out had it been 60. But when it's 87 and it's that crowded, you're like, get away from me.
Thank goodness I packed like a crazy person. I packed, like, shorts and pants.
Yeah.
But that first day, I was, like, in my jeans and my hoodie. And we're waiting to get on the boat to cross over to Magic Kingdom. And I'm like... I might die before we get there. It's 100% possible I might be the first person to die of heat stroke in Disney
World.
Imagine?
Oh, that's
it was
sad.
So hot. So that was an issue. But the crowds, like I said, I knew it was going to be crowded.
Yeah, they closed the gates at Magic Kingdom before noon.
Right.
They were not allowing more. They were not allowing people in.
Right.
The apps and phones and everything were completely not working because
they were chugging so hard trying to get anything done. Oh, it was terrible.
But those fireworks, we were there the night before because they do the fireworks before. This is not all what we were going
to
talk about.
No, but this is fun to talk about anyway, right?
But
travel blog. Here we go.
They do the fireworks at Magic Kingdom the night before. They basically apparently do it four times. They do it at 6:30 and then at 11:30 and then I don't know. Anyway, so we were just there by Ariel getting ready to go on Ariel's Adventure, whatever it is, and they do the fireworks all around us. They shoot them off. It was
so much closer. Like, honestly, we've seen a lot of fireworks at Disney standing on Main Street.
Yeah.
And you look at the castle and it looks amazing with the castle and the music and all that kind of stuff. It's aesthetically very pleasing. But I really enjoyed the fireworks by Ariel more.
Yeah.
Mostly because you were so close. They shoot off those fireworks so close to where Ariel is.
Right.
That you can just feel the concussive forces of explosions.
Well, and it's pretty incredible what they're able to do with their fireworks shows because they own their property all around them. That they're like, we can do whatever we want, wherever we want. Because we saw it again for Epcot as well when they were doing the fireworks shows for the actual finale or for the actual New Year's Eve.
Mm-hmm.
They did, they were lighting off fireworks at each one of the pavilions of each one of the countries in order of which they were celebrating the New Year.
Right.
And they could only do that at a park that they completely fully own and control.
Right. They couldn't do it in Anaheim. It could would you be a mess. I mean,
yeah, the concept of it completely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So thank goodness Westcott never happened because, you know.
So it was a crazy trip, to say the least.
Right.
Super fun. But part of the reason that we put off on doing our patch blog until this trip, this podcast, was because we were going down and I managed to secure us fast passes for a very specific ride.
Yeah, I don't know how you got them.
I don't know how I did either. Honestly, even while we were there, I was looking at the current line and I was like, how on earth did I manage to get fast passes for this ride
and
when everyone is standing there for 3 hours?
And what ride is this?
This would be Frozen Forever After, or Ever After, Frozen Ever After at Epcot.
Such a fun
Norway
ride.
Norway Pavilion. And here's the thing. There's a lot of discussion about this ride being in Epcot, how it's misplaced and not exactly in the theme of Epcot, which I can understand.
Because it's IP driven and...
Because it's fake. It's not really in Norway. It's in a place that's based on Norway, you know, or it might even be like a Norwegian short story that it, the idea was based on.
And so they're upset that it's on World Showcase specifically.
Right, where you go to be educated about real places.
And then they, okay, that's a very fair criticism.
Yeah.
Especially when you see how much work they put into the Morocco Pavilion.
Right.
And you look at how grand and glorious and perfect that place is, all of them, really. And
how authentic it is. You go in there and they have people that are from there working there, you know? So.
But we went on the Mexico ride, and it's not real, right?
That's all real stuff. Yeah.
Is it
I mean, they have Donald, they have the three caballeros running around in the Mexico Pavilion.
Yeah.
But all of the footage and stuff is of real places, and all of the settings in there are based on Mexican traditions and things.
Yeah.
So you can have fun with the truth, but Arendelle is completely fabricated.
Right. Okay.
So I think that's what people are most irked about.
Well, that's too bad because the ride was phenomenal.
It is a very good ride. I will say that. I managed, like I said, to get fast passes for like 5 o'clock in the evening.
5:55.
Yeah. 5:55. Thank you for remembering exactly the time for 5:55 in the evening. Which is like 30 minutes before fireworks started and stuff. So maybe people thought, oh, I don't want to do that. I want to have a place to stand and watch the fireworks.
Could be why we got them.
But it didn't stop people from standing in line because literally there was, I think there was a 2.5 to 3 hour wait while we were going to get on that ride. So
everything all day was, we didn't get on anything that wasn't a wait, right?
That was the worst part about the crowds is that nothing had a short wait, obviously, but there also aren't any like just sit down and relax areas with that many people in a park.
Right.
It's so crowded that you're just like, well, standing room only at Epcot, apparently, you know?
Well,
like,
we were there earlier in the day and there was grass spots. We were able to find some grassy spots and then some benches and things. But we've complained about this before that Epcot is such a hot park with all the concrete and metal and glass.
Sure.
Reflective surfaces. It just reflects the heat on you. So you feel like you're inside a tanning bed all day long.
Yeah.
So
what better ride to ride than Frozen at that point, right?
You would think
super hot.
You would think so, but it's a revamped ride. Like the ride has been there for quite a period of time, right?
Yeah. Since Norway opened. Yeah.
Okay. And then they've now done an IP overlay, which they basically completely just switched out all characters around the ride. But but because it is an older ride, the boats that you're on, it's a boat ride, but the boats are much smaller than you would expect.
Well, and for such a popular thing, Frozen is a global phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
So you would expect that they would want the ride to be very high capacity. You want to get as many people into the Frozen attraction as possible because you know it's going to be extremely crowded.
Like, yes.
And so apparently the boats from Maelstrom, which is the ride that they
that
took
was the
over,
original ride,
only held 12 people was the concept.
Oh, shut up. Really?
Yeah.
There were not 12 people on that boat.
There
were 12 people on our row.
Yeah.
No, there wasn't. There was four. They forced us to have four people.
Literally, we watched people standing in line for 3 hours to get into this ride. We use our fast passes. We jump pretty far, obviously, ahead of the rest of the line. Walking in there, the outside is an extremely long line, but you get inside and realize that there's twice as much line inside the building as there is outside the building. I'm like, oh my goodness. And then we get up to the actual ride, and these are people from Norway working the pavilion.
Right, yeah, that's true.
Which I feel very bad for them, because they have to deal with a lot of people.
Oh.
Whereas before, they probably didn't deal with quite as many.
That's a good point.
So they say, how many you have, put you here, put you there, you know, mm-hmm. whatever. And so we all step up to the boat, and it pulls up, and the first two people in our row get in and sit down, and I'm like, oh dear.
Oh.
Because
that alone took up 70% of the row.
Right. Two and people. So I'm like, okay, I could probably fit in here with them fine. But me and Steve and these two other people.
All grown ups
in the row behind us.
Oh.
All grown ups in the row in front of us.
Uh-huh.
Like, legitimately, it was all adults in this boat. And I'm like, there is no way. Like, right. Literally, the girl behind us, once the boat even started moving, she was tapping the people next to her going, is there any room? I'm literally not even sitting down.
Oh, I did hear that.
She's like, I'm like hovering over the actual seat here.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is not safe, nor is it comfortable.
True.
And unfortunately, that really kind of affected my opinion of the ride a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You couldn't focus on anything for that ride, not going in, not the queue, not the ride, not, there were a lot of things that you, I bet I only saw 40% of what the ride actually is.
Right.
Which is good, I guess, because that means if we go on it 12 more times, I'll get the full ride at that
right.
time.
Right, sure, you'll find things to really enjoy.
Around 2087, maybe.
Okay. When the ride finally calms down.
Right. Because we're years in, and it still lines like this. Same thing with Pandora.
It was an extremely busy day. So you can only say,
yeah.
For an extremely busy day, the most popular ride in the park is going to be very busy.
Right. I guess when you say we're going on the busiest day of the year, I can't believe how crowded this boat is.
Why are there so many people here?
I guess that's completely on us.
But still, I think it's something that needs to be addressed in the future. I think had I been a little bit more in my present mind, I think I might have said, whoa, I can't sit in here. There is no room. Wow. And I might have suggested, you know, maybe we wait, or maybe I would say, hey, can we put the two girls behind us each on one row, and then each of us will take a row next time? Anything but this, because it was extremely uncomfortable for that whole ride. But that being said, the ride itself is very serviceable. It's a fun little ride, right?
Oh, it's fantastic. Since I've never been on Maelstrom or that ride or any of it, I knew the concept slightly, but I think the ingenuity behind it and the concept that you're going to then, we're allowed to talk about this, right? What the ride does.
Oh, sure.
So you're in a boat ride and you're going forward, and then you come up to Elsa and you're thinking this is absolutely phenomenal. And then you start going backwards down the track. And I don't know how long we go backwards for.
A good minute.
But like the whole song. Yeah. And then we switch around and we're going forward and then up a ramp and down a ramp. And you're like, we're on a boat ride, y'all.
Yeah.
It's definitely pretty phenomenal.
Yeah.
I hear the characters are great. Didn't notice any of them.
Well, the great thing about the characters, you'd probably appreciate this, they're the first all-electronic animatronics that they've ever built. All their other robotic figures all have pneumatic things in them to help them move. And that's why they sometimes get a little jerky.
Because it's all hydraulic powered. Yeah.
These are the first ones that are all electronically based, and that's why they move so fluidly.
Electric
and things.
Motors and stuff, huh?
Yeah.
Hmm.
And then they also did the projection mapping interior faces on the characters. And I'm not a big fan of them.
Yeah.
I think they look a little weird. They look kind of like a imagine a person, but instead of a face, they have like a flat screen. And then their face is lit up and projected from the inside is literally what it is. You know.
Interesting.
So I'm not a big fan of that. I kind of like the animatronic faces, even though they may not be as expressive per se. I like them a little bit better than the projection faces.
I'll have to go back and watch a video on YouTube for it now that we've actually been on the ride. Now we can go back and examine it further.
Sure.
And then I'll be better prepared for the next one. Next time we go, and I'll get a better opinion of it. And it's a good thing they did those videos already, because the ride is already showing wears and tears that you're talking about.
Yeah, I noticed there were a couple places where, I mean, just constant usage for years, it's going to have an effect on the ride, right?
Yeah.
Interesting fact, I did read an article that Frozen constitutes for more emergency evacuations off the ride than any other ride in a Disney World.
Oh, really?
So out of I wish I had the article in front of me. Out of, I believe it was 550 emergency evacuations where emergency services had to be called.
Okay.
110 of those were Frozen.
It's like over 20%.
Yeah.
For just that one ride.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Right? Wow. It's like, that's a lot.
It's probably because they're putting so many people on that boat.
That's it, right? It's dragging on the bottom, setting off sparks and lighting things on fire.
I was wondering, though, literally, like, if we were going to make it through some of those gates and turns and things that have to happen. Like, this boat was rocky.
But, I mean, and they also noted that part of the problem was potentially that they didn't overhaul the electricity in the ride, and they've put in all these new all-electrical figures that maybe the breakers and the electrical currents aren't set up necessarily to run.
Huh.
So they have, like, weird things tripping all the time.
Yeah, you're completely power issues. You're completely changing, using it differently, even though I think electrical motors would be used less, just my guess. Hydraulics use so much power
right.
to make those things move.
But they, I think they put in a lot more. Like, the original ride was a little bit more simple, whereas this one has a lot going on.
And projectors.
LED lights and all these other things.
Yeah, we know power consumption has definitely increased over the years.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Overall, though, I would not wait 3 hours for that ride. I would not.
We won't wait 3 hours for any ride, though. We have a 100-minute goal, right? This is what we've decided. Would you rate 100 minutes for it, an hour and a half?
No.
Not a 90-minute.
To me, it's on the same vein as Peter Pan. It's an amazing ride, and it's fun to look at.
Yeah.
But after riding it once, I can honestly say I would wait maybe 45 minutes for it, but that's about the longest I would wait for the ride. And it'll never be that short. It's just not going to happen.
Mm.
But it's not enough payoff for me, and I'd rather have the little girls that really love Frozen get on versus me for waiting for 3 hours, you know?
That's fair. What did you think of Olaf in the ride, though?
Olaf is probably the best figure they have in there.
Okay.
In all of his iterations, I think he's in there like 4 times, and he moves really well. He's very expressive. They've done neat tricks with him to get him to actually walk around, which they haven't done in other dark rides.
That is true.
He's the one, though, that like I said, was showing a lot of wear and tear.
Mm.
And it's mostly because he's all white. So if there's anything that rubs or leaks or...
That's a good point.
Bumps up against
something.
And they
made him out of like a fuzzy material, too.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, he looked like he was built out of felt, which I know it's not, but still... Well, you want him to look snowy, right? Like, you want him to look fluffy and cuddly and friendly.
I would think if there's a character you could make out of hard plastic, it would be Olaf, though.
Oh, all right.
Every time I see him in the felt type of materials, I don't like him. Oh. I think the white plasticky, because he looks that way in the cartoon. So when you see him that way in the show,
in the rides.
In the show in Disneyland.
Oh, California.
Right?
Yeah.
I like it when he's a plastic clinky character. I think he's pretty cool, but...
Yeah, I think it would have been fine if they had built him out of anything else, honestly.
And even though it is New Year's Eve, it did feel like we were at Olaf summer camp, didn't it?
Because it was so hot. Good segue. Good job. For those of you that don't know and haven't caught on yet, our patch for January is Frozen-inspired, which was your idea. You thought this would
be... Is it mine?
I love how you don't remember. So I'm taking credit. No, it's my idea. Steve said, oh, we should do something about Olaf and summertime or whatever. And I said, oh, Olaf having a summer camp would be hilarious. Because it's exactly what he would want. Right?
Yes, absolutely.
He wants to see what frozen things do in summer. What better way to do that than at a summer camp? So I thought it would be fun. I was in scouting for a minute, and for all of their like jamborees and things like that, they had specific patches to go on your uniform.
Uh-huh.
And I thought,
I remember them well.
It would be totally fun if Olaf's camp had a patch that would go on some sort of camper uniform, you know? And that's kind of the look that we went for with Olaf summer camp.
Do you know, actually, the only thing I have in my dad's is a scouting patch.
Oh, really?
From, yeah.
How, what are the odds?
How perfect is that?
That is perfect. Anyway. I should have looked at it.
Ah, yes. Cheated. Off of, like, 1950 scouting patch.
Well, I did. I went back to a very old style. When you see it, everybody, it has a very 1970s style to it. I did a sunrise type thing in the background that's very 70s. And then we went back and forth a little bit on design-wise, but we ended up settling on a snowman with the bottom half being made out of a beach ball, which I think was really successful and works for the concept.
Well, and they use a lot of those red beach balls in the show at
the California Adventure.
And I just want to run up on stage and grab them from the girls and just start playing along too.
They should just bounce them around the audience.
They don't do that, right?
They do not.
Could you imagine if they did?
People would steal them.
They and people would get hit in the head. It would be a mess. But
some little girl's tiara go flying across the room. There'd be lawsuits.
It would be fun, though.
It would be.
I love a good beach ball.
And then I've also thrown in there are some dandelions around Olaf.
Oh, yeah.
Some stylized dandelions, because he talks about dandelion fuzz. There's even a little bee buzzing around the bottom. And then just to make sure that you know it's frozen, there's some icicles hanging off the bottom.
That's what would happen if he melted.
Right. Then he would just be... Right. But it's a fun patch for a cold time of year for a lot of people. Obviously not Florida. Y'all have summer all year round, apparently.
That's what's so sad about it, is that everywhere else in the country is 8 degrees, and then you get to Florida and it's 87. Ooh, and you're like, gosh. Is it even, like, you feel like you're in this weird apocalypse
warp. Like, it doesn't feel like the right holiday, right? Like,
completely
happy
wrong.
New Year's Eve, and everyone's in tank tops and shorts, and I'm like, this is not New Year's Eve.
And then you add up on top of the fact that they celebrate it 4 times in 2 days,
right?
And you're like, I am so confused at what's happening right now.
It was exhausting. I will say that, like, I thought I had prepared mentally for it, but really it was exhausting to be around that many people for that long. Was a lot.
Yeah,
but
it's crazy.
I mean, I guess if it was going to be that popular, I should have known. Like, what was I expecting otherwise?
Right.
You know?
But if you want to see the Olaf patch, you can go to DisneyPatch.com is the easiest way to find it. If you go to Obscure Disney Podcast, you'll also find it there, too. It's all the same website. It's just different parts. So.
And we'll put some up on the Instagram, too. Put some pictures up there so
people can see. Oh, on the Insta? That's what people do.
People like pictures on there, apparently.
Are they even calling it Insta anymore? Am I
Insta?
Did that ever happen?
Call it the gram? What do they call it now? We're so old.
That's Insta's never going to happen, guys.
The two old guys that were on the Frozen ride trying to figure out Instagram.
Oh, I hate to bring it up, bro, but the girl behind us, the Asian with the flash, really? Oh,
okay, people, let's be respectful.
I don't mean to bring it up every single time.
But let's be respectful. Everyone waited for a long time. We waited a little shorter, but people are waiting 3 hours to get on this ride. They don't need your camera lighting on for the entire ride. It's so disrespectful and ruins a lot of the effects.
And you couldn't even yell at her because she didn't speak English.
Right.
It's awful.
And I've just been told that if you have your lights on, if you take a flash, it ruins the faces of the characters in your pictures anyway. I bet
that's 100% true. It'd be like, 100% true.
So it's a lose-lose. No one wins with that.
And we did wait all day for it because we were waiting. I mean, we waited 30
we just sat
days.
Around
we
for
got
a
tickets
while.
In 30 days in advance for that.
Right.
So she did ruin it for us, too.
Ugh.
Just saying.
I'm so offended.
Anyway, DisneyPatch.com.
DisneyPatch.com. On that cheery note, right? But it's like I always say, winter's a good time to stay in and cuddle, but put you in Florida and you'll be a happy snowman. Until next time, follow my perfectly sculpted two-finger Disney point to the exit, and we'll see you then on the Obscure Disney Podcast.